lift every voice and sing.
The Pittsburgh Pirates fielded the league's first all-black and Latino starting lineup on September 1st, 1971, led by future Hall of Famers Roberto Clemente and Willie Stargell. The Pirates defeated the Phillies 10-7. A few weeks later, the Pirates would win the World Series as well.
And we welcome you back to Get Up, coming to you live, as always, from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. I'm Mike Greenberg, and it is a very busy morning. Plenty of news coming your way, and it begins with our developing story involving a serious auto accident and the legendary golfer Tiger Woods, who is recovering this morning after emergency surgery to repair what are being described as significant injuries, especially to his right lower leg, including multiple open fractures. This after losing control of his SUV early yesterday morning while driving northbound on a stretch of road that is described as curvy and steep south of Los Angeles. Police say the 2021 Genesis appeared to make contact with the median and went across two southbound lanes of traffic and hit a curb and some trees before rolling over several times, ultimately landing on its side with Tiger Woods trapped inside.
Unfortunately, Mr. Woods was not able to stand under his own power. Our partners at LA County Fire were able to extricate him from the vehicle, and they put him onto a backboard. I ensured that he was able to speak to me. At that time, he seemed that as though he was still calm and lucid.
Well, we're looking at signs of under the influence of either narcotics, medication, alcohol, odor of alcohol, all these different things that would give you an idea in their behavior, but there was none present.
And more information that we have, the airbags deployed. Police say the inside of the car basically remained intact, which gave him a cushion to survive the crash. Tiger Woods was wearing a seatbelt. Investigators say there were no skid marks on the road and no evidence of braking. They did not say how fast he was driving. Overnight, Tiger's team issued a statement on Twitter that read in part, "We thank everyone for the overwhelming support and messages during this tough time." Tiger Woods has undergone a long surgical procedure on his lower right leg and ankle after being brought to the hospital. He is currently awake, responsive, and recovering in his hospital room. There are no further updates at this time. We continue to thank you for your well wishes and privacy for him and his family. And with that, we welcome back Gene Wojciechowski, who is live with us all morning from outside Harbor UCLA Medical Center. Gene, what more can you tell us?
Well, Greeny, I just spoke with two prominent orthopedic surgeons, one whom has extensive background in trauma treatment. They work for a world-renowned facility that deals with these sort of things. Spoke to one, traded texts with another. They both compared Tiger Woods' situation in one respect to Alex Smith's situation, which we're all familiar with, not from the injury itself, but from the fear and concerns of infection. You had Stefania Bell on earlier, and she talked about how they basically peel away they reduce the swelling in the muscle area, and they do that to help prevent infection. So the doctors I spoke with said that Tiger will undergo other surgeries in coming days, maybe even on a daily basis, to make sure that infection does not get into those areas in that soft tissue. I can read to you, it says, heal the soft tissues, avoid infection. That was the text that this prominent orthopedic surgeon sent to me. He did that in all caps. That is the number one fear at this point with this sort of situation. But, and I sent them the statement from the chief medical officer from last night and just basically asked them to interpret it as best as they could. And they said, both of them, that it was encouraging that they were able to put a rod into that tibia to stabilize things. They think that if they can get that under control, that's a very good sign. But he has a long, long road, they emphasized, on his recovery.
Yeah, you said earlier, months, not weeks, at the very minimum. And we should mention Alex Smith, of course, came back a decade younger than Tiger is, but came back and played professional football, a sport where your body is in jeopardy. So I suppose that would be encouraging as well. Gene, you'll be there all morning long. Thank you very much for this. And we will have Andy North a little bit later with his perspective as well. Meantime, back to the National Football League news of this day for the moment and the franchise tag window, which officially opened yesterday, meaning, among other things, the Dallas Cowboys can place that tag on quarterback Dak Prescott. If they do, it would be a second straight season in which they do. And we find ourselves again here on what feels like Groundhog's Day in Dallas. They cannot work out a long-term deal. Dan Graziano, you continue to tell me both sides want a long-term deal to be the outcome here, and it keeps not happening. Is there any reason to think it will be different, that in the next 2 weeks, which is when this window closes, they will have a long-term agreement?
In 2 weeks, I don't think so. But if they, even if they franchise him March 9th, they have until July 15th to work out a long-term deal. One of the holdups on this deal and others that are being talked about around the league is that we're still waiting for the salary cap to be set for 2021, which will have an effect on what the salary cap is going to be in 2022 and on how you structure all these long-term deals. We're still waiting on potentially the new TV contracts with the league to be signed. That could happen prior to the start of the league year. And if they come in at monster numbers, as some people expect, then the salary cap could be higher than we think it's going to be. That would trigger a 17-game season this year. That has an effect on the economics of the league. So this and a lot of things are on hold. I know everybody's going to get upset. I'm not excusing what happened the last 2 years in terms of not getting a deal done. But as for right now, what I can tell you is they have had discussions. Each side knows where the other stands. The issue is still about length of the deal, not money. They have offered money that he considers to be respectful. So it's not an issue of disrespect. It's an issue of, do they get to an agreement on how long the contract is going to be? They have several months to do it, and there's still optimism on both sides that they can.
That's fair. But this is why we're all going to get mad, Marcus, right? Because it feels to me like all these things that we're still trying to figure out, and you're right, Dan, I'm sure they're all legitimate. What's the salary cap going to be? Is it years, 4 years, 5 years? Somehow, when teams desperately want to get a deal done with their franchise quarterback, they manage to work their way around all of those things. And Jerry and the Cowboys, Marcus, have managed not to for 2 years and counting now. What does that tell us?
That tell us it's stupid. That's number one. It is absolutely stupid. Because when players ball like this, they're supposed to get paid, and it's not supposed to take this damn long. Okay? And I hear, like, this is not at you, Grass, but you just reporting the facts. You the middleman, so don't take this the wrong way. I'm so sick of hearing people say they want to get it done. You know what? I wanted to marry my wife, D. You know what I did? I put a damn ring on her finger. I wanted a car because I don't want to walk like y'all do in New York. I don't want to take an Uber all the time. So I bought a damn car. You know what? I wanted nice suits. So I told Jay Hilburn, make big suits for big dudes that fit and doesn't look like sheets on us. I want a lot of things. And you know how I got them? I went out and did them. I signed a damn contract to do them. I wanted to work at ESPN. I signed a contract to work at ESPN because ESPN said, we want you to work here too. So we agreed on things. The Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott have been going through this song and dance for too damn long. Now it's about what Dak Prescott wants. Period. This no longer is a negotiation. It's no longer anything to do with what the Dallas Cowboys think they should do or try to place. But Grass, listen, the Cowboys last year went out and got Andy Dalton. That's who they went and got to try to back themselves up. Now we're having a conversation of if they should draft a rookie. Grass, you're going to really sit here and try to get me to believe he was a backup. He was a backup with the idea that you may need to be our starter this year.
$3 million.
Grass, let me get back. Grass, let me get back to saying what I was saying. You can want whatever you want.
Making stuff
but
up?
If it takes 3 years to do it, you don't really want it. And that's what the Cowboys are telling everybody right now. So, Dak, do your thing, man. play under this franchise tag and go out there and get whatever the hell you want.
You heard the
I'm
lesson
sorry.
On one.
I had to let
you
it out.
You need to learn about one, Graziano. You don't want nothing enough. If you want it enough, you can go get it. I'm with Spears on that. That all makes sense because there's no reason why they shouldn't have gotten this done up until this point unless they don't respect him. Because we talk about mental toughness and we talk about executing on the field and all those things are things that Dak Prescott has shown time and time again. I can tell you when I became a member of the Dak Prescott fan club because his rookie year before the Green Bay playoff game, I said Tony Romo should start this game because he gives them the best chance to win. I was wrong because we got to the fourth quarter of that game and a rookie playing for the most famous franchise in America in the playoffs, Dak Prescott, outplayed Aaron Rodgers in that fourth quarter, led three scoring drives to tie that game up. If it weren't for Aaron Rodgers throwing that incredible pass on the sideline to Cook, they would have won that game. That day, people left and was like, man, the Cowboys sure missed this opportunity. And you know what I said? Damn, the Cowboys are lucky. They found a quarterback. And that's when I became a member of the Dak Prescott fan club. And that's when Jerry Jones should have too.
Hold on 1 second, Marcus.
Fox.
Yeah, I'm going to prove you right. Marcus, right now I'm going to prove you right because I want to continue this conversation in just a moment. And so that's exactly what we're going to do. We'll take
yes.
a short break and we're
Nine.
Coming back to the Cowboys because we can do that if we choose to. And one guy came on this show yesterday, our Cowboys insider, and took this conversation to a whole other level with something the Cowboys could do that would guarantee Dak is gone. You'll hear what that is next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up, and I just want to give everyone an understanding of how relaxed Torrey Smith has become in this second appearance with us here on Get Up. He's got the suit top working upstairs. He's got the sort of relaxed look working below the equator here. And just to give you proof that he's kept it going, here's a little earlier this morning. We told him, we need you real quick, Torrey. So he comes running over the set. What do we think of that? I want to, Torrey, I don't need your reaction. Give me back my guys here, Dominique and Marcus. That's who I want to ask. Is this an appropriate way for Torrey to be doing the program today, or is this a little bit, we need a little rookie hazing, a little instruction? Dominique, what do you think?
Hell yeah, it's appropriate. If he was on here stammering and stumbling, that's a different story. But this man been balling out in his rookie campaign, so you show up any way you want to. I was telling Spears online, like, what's it called when you're proud of somebody but jealous of them at the same time? We decided that it's prelous, and I am prelous as hell of Torrey Smith right now.
For those who don't know, Torrey followed Dominique at Maryland. You could say maybe you're his mentor.
He wanted to be like me.
Something like that? Okay. Let me get back to what we were talking about a minute ago, regardless of what we're wearing. I want to bring Ed Werder's comments from yesterday into the conversation. We're all yelling at each other about this Dak Prescott thing, which I'm all in favor of. But Ed Werder, who knows the situation as well as anyone, came on yesterday and said, if they don't get a deal done, the Cowboys need to draft a quarterback. Listen to this.
Even if they franchise tag him, I think they have to consider drafting a quarterback with the 10th overall pick. With quarterbacks available in this draft, continuing uncertainty about Dak Prescott's long-term commitment, I think they would have to consider drafting a quarterback, even though that's not the way Jerry Jones has operated. I mean, he's only done that once, and that was the first year, 1989, drafted Troy Aikman, number one. Overall, it's not a philosophy that he's generally embraced, but it did produce 3 Super Bowl wins, the only ones that have taken place in Dallas since Jerry's owned the team.
Okay, so Marcus, give us a sneak preview. You just pretty much erupted over the situation here. If we get to draft night and you hear the commissioner get up there and say, with the 10th overall pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the Dallas Cowboys select Justin Fields out of Ohio State, what will your reaction be?
That's smart by the Dallas Cowboys. Because look, like me and Foxy have been saying, Dak Prescott has all the leverage. He can do what he wants to do, regardless of if it's 1 year with Dak Prescott starting and just hypothetically Justin Fields as his backup or whatever quarterback they decide to draft. It's smart because Dak Prescott now can determine whatever he wants to do going beyond this year. That's number one. Number two is this. When you look at Dallas and how they're currently constructed, they may need to open up some cap space as a whole in order to build out some of the parts of their team that they need to get better at. Obviously, you bring in Quinn, so hopefully that defense gets to attacking back upfield and guys start to kind of reassert themselves as top defenders in this league. But offensively, you got an aging offensive line. Travis Frederick had to retire. You talk about Zach Martin, who is, I think, as good as they come, had to move around. Tyron Smith is up there in age. It's a lot of things you need to do. So if Dak is going to be there for one more year, draft another quarterback, because I'm sure that Dak will want to get out if he's tagged this year. I'm sure of it, G.
So, Tori, let me get your perspective on this, and then I'll give you what I think. Go ahead, Tori. What do you make of all this as we're all yelling at each other here?
I mean, if they draft someone at 10, that tells me that they're willing to start all the way over, which makes absolutely no sense. If you have a franchise quarterback, one of the guys that are on the tier of being elite and has shown flashes of being elite, why would you get rid of them? Everyone is trying to get a guy like that to build around. Dallas is showing that they want to do the opposite, and it's honestly a dysfunctional move. And Dak, they should just pay him. They should have paid him years ago, and it just continues to get more expensive as they continue to wait. But I believe Dak is a difference maker in Dallas, and he's the guy that, again, I've watched him play for years. They asked him to prove himself over and over. Oh, it's the team as a reason why he's doing well. Then he goes out there and throws for over 4,000 yards and over 30 touchdowns. And now they question, oh, his arm talent. No, Dak is elite. Pay the man, move on, build around him, end of story.
Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think they should pay him for the amount of years that he wants, whatever it takes. But I do think that he's a guy that is shown himself to be strong enough to still play through the idea if they draft a quarterback. Like, I don't think he's going to have a situation where, as we understand it, Carson Wentz was really set back mentally and emotionally. Like, Dak Prescott doesn't strike me as that type of guy. So I don't think it'll hurt in that way. And I understand Marcus's point, because earlier we talked about leverage in negotiation is about your alternative. Like, how comfortable are you with your alternative? Right now, the Cowboys' alternative is Andy Dalton. They can't be comfortable with that. Dak's alternative is free agency. That is a dream. But if they change that to their alternative being Justin Fields, maybe that gives them a little more leverage, but it certainly doesn't get them any closer to winning a championship, which is what I thought Jerry Jones wanted to do.
We will come back to this, but the bottom line of it is this. If they draft a quarterback and they are resigning themselves to Dak only being there one more year, they have to trade him. You can't just let him walk and get nothing for him next year. If they draft a quarterback, they need to trade Dak Prescott. We'll talk more about this as our hour continues. But coming up next, we will get back to yesterday's accident, the enormous news. What lies ahead for Tiger Woods? We will talk to Andy North as we continue in just a moment. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Meanwhile on Planet Earth is brought to you by Whole Foods. And Tori Smith, earlier this week, you posted this on Twitter wondering, do y'all think she's supposed to have these cookies? What is the answer? Was she supposed to have the cookies?
Absolutely not. You're looking at a visual representation of Terrible Twos. My daughter used her stool, moved it up on the counter, stole the cookies, came in, looked at me, and I didn't do a single thing about it. So she's winning me over. She's running the house. I have to
you
get
know
it together.
Why?
That's my baby girl.
Gee, you know why she got them cookies? Because she wanted them damn cookies.
I'll just say this. My kids are 20 and 18. I miss the days when cookies was what I was worried about. Anyway, as we continue in just a moment, Tiger Woods' reaction continues to come in. How this impacts the world of sports and his future, current and former champions sharing their perspective as we continue in just a moment.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We're back at the bottom of the hour. Get up on ESPN with our developing story. Tiger Woods is recovering in a hospital after emergency surgery to repair significant injuries, especially to his right lower leg. Woods suffering multiple open fractures after his SUV rolled over several times. He had a rod placed in his tibia, screws and pins inserted in his foot and his ankle. Earlier this morning, I asked our injury expert, Stefania Bell, about Woods' recovery.
They said they stabilized the fractures with a rod in his tibia. That's the thick bone of the lower leg. You put a rod in there to provide stability for the bone to heal around it. Surgery takes a long time because it's like putting together a jigsaw puzzle when you have a shattering. And when you look at the big picture, it's really hard to make a projection at this point because this alone with the lower leg, we're talking months, not weeks, and you don't know what else he has to deal with as well.
There's still so many questions about this, and here is our friend Andy North, two-time U.S. Open champion who is central in all of our coverage of golf. And Andy, you've been around Tiger so much, and I know that you've talked to him recently, not obviously since the accident, but I just wonder what your reaction is as you watch all this unfold over the last now nearly 24 hours.
Well, first of all, Greeny, yesterday was scary. You didn't have any idea how his health really was, obviously. Looking at the car, my first thoughts were the cage of the car stayed together. That was good news. But the front end got shoved up into the driver's area, and which caused all the leg damage. So that part is scary. There's so many levels here. I mean, we're to the point where we now know that the surgeries have gone well, but you don't have any idea the recovery time. You don't have any idea how well they're able to put the foot and ankle back together. I mean, those are the critical parts. The leg itself, probably with the rod in there, will be fine. But you don't know. There's so many little broken bones in the foot and ankle area that's like putting a jigsaw puzzle together with no picture to watch. So that's tough. But now the biggest problem now going forward, obviously, is infection. They had to, slice open the edge of the muscle to relieve the pressure from the swelling. So now there's all this infection. And then, you know, people start talking about, well, you know, maybe you can hit balls in 6 weeks or 8 weeks or 2 months or 6 months. That's not the issue here. This has nothing to do with golf at this point in time. This is about quality of life moving forward, being able to do things with his family and his kids the rest of his life.
Yeah, that's something that he has talked so much about. He was just on television on Sunday with Jim Nantz talking about he is recovering from back surgery as we speak. Less than 2 months ago, he had back surgery, and there was question as to whether he'd be ready in time for the Masters. And obviously, as you mentioned, that becomes secondary now. I know that you know him quite well. How would you describe where his mind has been of late, where his mind has been before this accident, where his head has been?
Well, I think, you know, it's typical Tiger. You know, he's had tons of setbacks, many surgeries, and it's all about how do I figure out a way to get better and get back to competing and go through the process of getting there. That's what athletes do. I mean, an average person has this accident happen to them. It's going to take them a lot longer to get back to where they're functional than it will a world-class athlete like Tiger. One thing that hasn't been talked about at all that I'm still concerned about, and we won't know for weeks to come, or maybe even a week or so, is how this crash affected his back. You're bounced around inside that. No one's brought up the fact that, you know, he's only 6 weeks past post-surgery on that. You know, has that been messed up? And I'm sure they haven't even dealt with that, haven't even looked at that yet, because they're trying to get all the other pieces put together. So this is a long road for Tiger. And, you know, we all have great confidence in him and how hard he'll work to get back to being healthy. But, you know, there's a lot of things out of his hands right now. And he just got to rest and heal up. And the body's an amazing machine. It does some amazing things as far as a healing process. And we hope that Tiger's on his way back that direction already.
Absolutely. Andy, it's great to see you. Thank you very much for getting up here and sharing a couple of thoughts on a just a terrible day, quite candidly, for the sport and well-being.
Thanks.
We'll see you soon. Thanks, Andy. Andy North with us here. Meanwhile, back to the football news of this day. And again, if there's anything further on Tiger, we will bring it to you immediately. But yesterday, Ben Roethlisberger reportedly meeting with Steelers president Art Rooney in efforts to reach an agreement to return to the Steelers next season. Big Ben's 2021 cap hit is currently set at $41.25 million. Art Rooney released this statement just moments ago. This is brand new news into our newsroom. Ben Roethlisberger and I met yesterday morning. We had a productive meeting. We were able to discuss a lot of things that relate to where we are and where we want to go. Ben assured me that he is committed to coming back to help us win, and I told Ben that we would like to have him back to help us win a championship. We both understand the next step is to work out Ben's contract situation. So those are from Art Rooney, and those are literally coming in as we speak. Those, as I read those to you, were the first time I'd heard them. So, Dan Graziano, when you hear that, my insider, what should we take away from that?
Well, if they really want to work out the contract situation, it could take about 5 minutes. I'll do it for them. He's not scheduled to make $41.25 million this year. That's his cap hit. He's scheduled to make $19 million this year. The rest is leftover charges from previous contract stuff. So if you want to take that $19 million, convert all of it into a signing bonus other than the minimum salary, which for him will be $1.075, extend the deal out 4 more years and have it automatically void after this year, now you've got the cap hit down to about $27 million. That's it. The only other option, if he wants to be on the team, is if he gives them money back. If he does not take all of that $19 million that is owed to him this year. And that would be a drastic and somewhat unprecedented step for a quarterback as accomplished as he is. If he's willing to knock that number down or get rid of it entirely, all but the minimum salary, then they can save even more. But again, I think that would be pretty surprising.
Wait, Dominic, before I let you go, let me just quickly confirm. You're talking about, Dan Graziano, that would knock down the cap hit, or it would just knock down the money he would get?
Well, both. I mean, right, it would knock down. If he were to take a full-on pay cut to the minimum salary, again, this is fantasy land. Dominique, right. Former president of the NFLPA, is there shaking his head, and justifiably so. But that would take it down.
You're lucky we're not in studio.
He would save
right
about $17 million instead of about $14 million. That's how the math works. But again, that's a big if. I think what happens is the first thing I said, a restructure and extension that saves them about, it'd be $14.34 million this year.
Okay, Nick, go ahead.
That is not even on the table, giving money back. Like, Dan, you say a lot of things that get under my skin, and we all argue here in good fun, but that's the first time you said anything that actually made me really angry. Like, no, do not even suggest that. Don't put that on the table, that somebody's going to be giving some money back. You guys can work around the cap hits any way you want, and the point that you made I thought was a good one, but what part of it you left out is, if they do extend him, convert his salary, some of his salary, and assign his bonus, and extend him and amortize that cost over the next several years, like, then he will be a drag on their salary cap once he is off the team. So they are not only making decisions that will affect this year's team. If they do something like that, those are limitations that will affect the team after he's gone. So these are all things they have to consider, that it's a risk worth taking, a thing worth doing if you think you are about to win a championship. If you don't, then I think it's a interesting decision that you have to make with one of your legends, or with your legendary quarterback, two-time Super Bowl champ. I'm not sure I would advise them to do any of that. I'm certainly not advising anybody to give back some money. That's foolish.
Go ahead, Dan, real quick.
Just so people know, I've done the math on this. If they do the full-on maximum voidable years extension, they would save $14.34 million on this year's cap, but they would carry a $14.34 million charge for him on next year's cap, assuming he retires and the contract voids. So that's the effect it would have beyond this year that Dominique is talking about.
All right, so Tori, let's put some football into the football conversation here, because assuming they can figure out the money, one of the questions you ask yourself is, at what point do you need to start addressing my future at quarterback? Are the Steelers, as constituted now, with a couple of realistic moves they can make this offseason and Ben Roethlisberger as their quarterback, are they a contender to win a championship in the near future? Tori, yes or no?
With Ben Roethlisberger there, you always stand a chance with Mike Tomlin leading his team. Now, I will say this. The best option, regardless of free agency or the draft for this season, is a cheaper Ben Roethlisberger. So they will work out something that fits the salary cap. But going forward, they're going to have to draft the quarterback. And they've been trying on the back end of rounds, but it hurts you when you're a decent team in terms of finding that franchise guy early. You're going to have to develop that guy. But they do have Dwayne Haskins, who's going to get a second chance at Pittsburgh. So we'll see what he can grow and develop into. But you have to make that decision now, because you're talking about a quarterback who's flirted with retirement for the past few years. So you don't want Big Ben to leave not only a huge hit to your salary cap going forward, but also a void at the quarterback position. So you have to address that at some point this year in the draft.
All right, something to keep an eye on. But again, that's new information. Art Rooney, those quotes just came into our newsroom literally moments ago. We will see. All signs do point towards Roethlisberger playing at least one more year in Pittsburgh. Meanwhile, we got great basketball coming up. The Big Ten in college basketball this year is loaded. And tomorrow night, we got a doubleheader. Starts at 7 Eastern. Number 3, Michigan, coming off a great win at Ohio State, will take on number 9, Iowa. Then you will see Ohio State. They're 4 in the country. They will take on Michigan State. Tom Izzo's team desperately needs wins to keep their tournament hopes alive. So great Big Ten hoops tomorrow night on ESPN and the ESPN app. Coming up, it's the one question everyone is asking. Is Bill Belichick dope? We'll have the answer next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Get Up is brought to you by the all-new 2021 Ford F-150. Tough this smart can only be called F-150. Meanwhile, take a look at this Showtime lineup on ESPN this week. You can get LeBron and the Lakers not once, not twice, but three times. First, he's in Utah tonight. Take on Spider Mitchell and the Jazz, then hosting Dame Lillard and the Trailblazers Friday, and then Steph and the Warriors Sunday in prime time. All the games are on ESPN and on the ESPN app. And with that, I welcome you back to our newsroom here at the Seaport. I'm Mike Greenberg. This is Get Up on ESPN. We're with you commercial-free for the next 14 and a half minutes. Take you to the top of the hour here. And as when First Take will take over with Stephen A. and Max and Molly. And they will, of course, have the very latest on Tiger Woods' accident and what faces him next. That conversation will continue. And of course, if there's any further information, we will bring it to you as we continue live and commercial free for the next 14 minutes. Meanwhile, back to other news of this day. Quarterback Cam Newton spent last season with the New England Patriots. He says he'd like to return in 2021. We'll see if that winds up coming to pass. He states his relationship with coach Bill Belichick is a big reason why. And he said a fascinating thing on the I Am Athlete podcast. Cam Newton said, quote, "I think Bill Belichick is the most misunderstood person in all of sports. He is dope as blank." That strikes me as something we need to dive into just a little bit. And Marcus Spears, I'm starting with you. Is because I think you might know a little bit more about this than I do. Do you believe Bill Belichick is dope?
I don't know what Cam Newton's interpretation of dope is. But I would not attach it to Bill Belichick. That's just because of my interpretation of what dope is. Like, now to Cam and the characteristics, obviously he was around Bill, he would consider him dope, right? Like, I consider Nick Saban cool. Like, to put this on a similar playing field, I consider Nick Saban to be cool. And public perception could be he is a blank and he doesn't like a lot of people and he is disrespectful because you see him hollering and all that. He a cool dude. I wouldn't call Nick Saban dope. Like dudes that I think of as dope is like Jay-Z, like Rick Ross. My brothers, my constituents, Dominique Foxworth, Torrey Smith. I played with Torrey in Baltimore. Torrey's dope. Ryan Clark is dope. Like, so I don't know what the definition of dope is that Cam is giving the bill, but that damn magazine cover ain't dope. That ain't dope. That's not like I use that word. Gee, I feel offended a little bit that Cam decided to give that word to Bill Belichick. Nothing about Bill Belichick is dope. He may be cool, but it ain't dope. Dominique Foxworth and Torrey Smith seen Bill Belichick do something and say, ooh, you know what? I want to do that. Because that was so dope of what Bill Belichick just did. I've never said that before. Sad. Y'all go ahead.
This is the time that he had his dog hosting the draft for him there. That was the dopest thing we could come up with as we were looking through video yesterday. Can I just ask you one question, and I'll just throw this up to the group. Do you know what I think he could do that almost no one else could do? Dominique Foxworth, he could hold up two hands and have six Super Bowl rings on them. That might be pretty dope. Neek, what do you think?
That's dope.
I mean, that's impressive. That's cool. That's nice. That's successful. But it ain't dope. Like, that magazine cover looks like it wants to deregulate all industries. I am not looking at that thinking I want to be a part of that. That's awful. It is not cool. It's not impressive. It's not dope. It's successful. We're grading on a curve. I think that's what happened. Cam Newton came there with a certain expectation of what he was going to meet. And then what he saw was different. And he was like, oh, man, that's dope. But just grading on a fair scale, like nothing about Bill Belichick. And I don't think Bill Belichick would describe himself as dope. I think he might ask us to define it. He'd be confused and not know what to say. So Bill Belichick's holy hoodies are not dope. Bill Belichick saying no days off after winning a freaking Super Bowl is the furthest thing from dope that I've ever seen. Winning a lot of Super Bowls, though, that's pretty cool. That's impressive, but it ain't dope. Cam Newton, of all people, with his hats and everything, looks at Bill Belichick and says, I want to do that. No, I'm sorry, Torrey. I got a little, that magazine cover upset me. It made me angry. My bad.
Torrey, dope or not dope?
You have to consider the source. You have to consider the source. Cam Newton is a man that is comfortable in his own skin. He's going to be him regardless.
No
he
doubt.
Doesn't care what you think. He's going to dress how he wants to dress. He's confident in it at all times, and it's literally a lifestyle. It's not just a for you thing. It's for him. Now, on the other side of that, Cam is considered a fashion icon. Whoever knew that Bill Belichick and his cutoff sleeves was what brought them two together? Bill Belichick is a fashion icon that way, too. So that's why Cam believes that he is dope and he's a winner. And also, I heard Cam say this all year long talking to him. That's my boy, right? And hearing him talk about how Bill Belichick is an historian, the way he's honest with everyone. Sometimes it's about the personality that we don't know. Him being a guy that's just authentic and real. And Cam translated that as dope. But I'm going to go ahead and roll with the six rings as being dope to me.
Dan Graziano, here's a question I'm sure you were not anticipating being asked when you were in journalism school at Georgetown once upon a time. But you've covered the National Football League for a decade. Do you believe that Bill Belichick is dope?
I here on Culture Wednesday, I defer to others to be the arbiter of dope, or dopeness, or whatever the adjective is. I gotta say, Torrey Smith is really good at this. He started out like playing along with the gag, and then he kind of pivoted to like a real bit of insight about how Cam and Belichick interacted this year. That actually, this guy is a natural, man. I'm telling you, Dominique Foxworth, you're right. You're right. We should all be concerned. But anyway, look to that point. These two guys got along well. They liked each other. Cam's looking for a job. Yeah. I'm sure it helps his prospects if Bill Belichick knows publicly that Cam thinks highly of him, and maybe that helps him have a chance to get back with the 100%. Patriots. I don't, maybe it's a calculated move.
No.
By
Cam. I actually don't think that Bill Belichick takes that as a compliment. Like, you think Bill Belichick aspires to be dope?
Oh, you think it hurts him?
I think he's offended.
He don't know what it is.
The I Am Athlete podcast is a very good one with Brandon Marshall and Chad Johnson. Like, those guys, they strike me as kind of dope. But Cam Newton, kind of dope. Bill Belichick? What? He's a winner. That's all we can give him. He's a great coach, and I don't think he wants to be dope.
I will say this. Dope.
Here it is, G.
Go ahead, Marcus. I'll give you the final word.
This is what it boils down to. We will never put dope and Bill Belichick in the same sentence, and I don't give a damn who says it. He's not dope. Who? Successful? All of those great things about sports, he is that. But I ain't attaching dope to Bill Belichick, because nothing Bill Belichick has done outside of winning six rings has made me say, ooh, I want to do that.
So let it be written, so let it be done. Who better to give the final word on that than Marcus? Let's get back to other football news here if we can. Let's talk about Carson Wentz. It was nearly a week ago that he was traded to the Indianapolis Colts for a pair of draft picks. He will be reunited there with his former offensive coordinator, Frank Reich, with whom he spent two very successful seasons in Philadelphia, one of which you'll remember he was on his way to winning the MVP award before he got knocked out for the season. And a member of that team was Torrey Smith. You played with him there. So, Torrey, you know what this offense is going to look like. You know what the relationship is between the coach and the quarterback. What do you expect from Carson Wentz year one in Indianapolis?
I'm expecting the Colts to win the AFC South, and Carson Wentz is going to be a major part of that based on his play. The environment is built for him to thrive and to make the plays that we saw him make just a few years ago. It's crazy that it's only a few years ago. It feels like 100 years ago, the way everyone's been treating Carson Wentz. But he has the ability. You're talking about a guy that can make every single throw. He can attack down the field, right? He's mobile. You have to give him that credit as well. And Frank Reich knows that better than anyone else. So what he's going to do is do a great job of doing the things that Carson does well, keeping him on the move. They have a great running back in Jonathan Taylor. They're going to be able to establish the run, which is going to open up the play action and shots downfield even more. You're going to see the best version of Carson Wentz since that Super Bowl run just a few years ago.
Again, I think that's a perfectly reasonable position for a former teammate to take who would know. So why do I sense all this skepticism? Dominique Foxworth, why the face?
No, the face is because, as we've been saying all day, Torrey is great. But the one criticism I have of Torrey is these lights got on and he got a little skittish about his Carson Wentz analysis. Early this morning, he was talking about MVPs. Now, all of a sudden, he's going to be the best he's been since 2017. Yeah, that's not that hard. He hasn't been very good. Last year, I think he was 28th in the league by QBR. So, like, that, okay, yes, he's going to be a lot better than he was last year. I agree with you. And I think that he's in a great situation. I think that Frank Reich and that offensive line in that defense is going to support him. That running game is going to support him. I think he's going to have a very good year. But I would stop short of some of the projections that some people are making, like he's going to return to that kind of anomaly of a elite season in 2017. Elite. Wow. Here we go with words. Words have meaning. Like, dope has a meaning. Elite has a meaning. You can't just throw it around like it don't mean nothing. It means something. That man ain't
it's
elite.
Not free.
Stop it.
You're going to see it. Watch.
Them words
all I can
not
do is
free.
Tell you this. We're going to remember this day, and it's going to happen, and I'm going to just be sitting here on the other side like, wait.
What's
going to
happen,
Dominique?
What's going to happen?
Too.
He's going to be better than he was last year? I agree.
I'm on his side. Torrey, I'm on Grady. Your side. Torrey is now my favorite Maryland graduate on this show. Let me leave it there for a minute, because there's one more thing we promised we'd get back to and we didn't, okay? And this is the Dak Prescott thing, and this is another thing that it is yelling at each other earlier today. But at the end of the day, Dak Prescott, will he get franchise tagged? Likely the answer to that question is yes, because that can open up a window for them to continue to try and come up with the contract that they have not managed to do over the last 2 years. And so here is where we left off this conversation earlier. And I'm just going to say it, and Dan Graziano, I'll say it to you quickly as the insider. If they don't get a deal done by the end of the franchise tag period, if they don't get a deal done before the draft, then realistically speaking, they have to consider trading Dak Prescott, because the alternative to that is letting him walk away and getting almost nothing in return next year. That is much too valuable an asset to risk that possibility. Dan, there's no other way to look at it. Tell me where I'm getting this wrong.
Well, there are a couple layers to it, right? Number one, Dak Prescott would have to agree to that. He would have to sign the franchise tender before they could trade him, so he would have control over where he's going, which would limit their market. Trading him for the sake of trading him pretty much costs you this season, and I don't think the Dallas Cowboys are in a position where they feel like throwing away whole seasons. And yeah, I mean, look, the tag is $37.7 million this year. Next year, if they tagged him again, it would go up to $52 million. That's an inconceivable number to us. Is it?
to Jerry Jones? Like, what's the cap going to be next year? Is it crazy to think that that could happen? I don't see
yes,
the Cowboys
it's crazy
being
to think.
In that frame of mind.
Let
no
me get everybody in on this. I'm going to run out of time. But yes, it's crazy to think. There was no reason to pay a quarterback $52 million in a hard cap sport when you could have done this so much more easily. Dominique, you're a member of the Prescott family, but at the end of the day, if they can't get a deal done and they draft a quarterback number 10, don't they have to trade him because they're going to lose him for nothing?
Yeah, I think that would be the wise thing for them to do. I hope that's what happened. But this whole conversation, I feel like Marcus nailed it in the first time we talked about it with one word. It's all about won't. You say you want something, you get it done. They said they wanted it, and they ain't do it, Marcus. Tell them about it. It's annoying and frustrating for me to keep having to have this conversation.
You know what, Foxy? Thank you, man, because you well-educated brothers like you and Torrance Smith, you know, with y'all degrees hanging up in y'all damn backgrounds with all of that nice and scripted letters and stuff. I got to get up background because TV is my scholarship. And let me tell you about this situation right here, okay? The bottom line is, now this is when all into Dak Prescott's wheelhouse. This is created by the Cowboys. He can do what he wants to do, period. So trade him, do all of that. That's the only significance that the Dallas Cowboys would have any control in this situation if they decided that they wanted to part ways and get something for Dak Prescott. But the bottom line is this, as we talk about these negotiations, as I get more mad at Dan Graziano and Adam Schefter and every damn person that come over here and tell me a deal gonna get done and they are both sides are talking, I don't want to hear that no more. All I want to hear is whatever Dak Prescott wants to do, I used it, Foxy, do it, okay?
Go, I mean, Tori, final word, go.
Big Worm said, playing with my money is like playing with my emotions. So you have to go and watch what they're doing with him, and they keep playing with Dak Prescott. Pay the man. It's not hard. If you want him, sign it. Be committed. He's ready, and get it done. I'm tired of talking about the same thing over and over. Pay the man.
Well, we are out of time.
Graziano.
He the Marcus, franchise.
Marcus,
obviously
you had
it's hard, or it right. would have been done by now.
Marcus, you had it right. If they really, really wanted to do it, it would already have been done. There is no other way to look at this situation. Okay, we are out of time. Thank you, everybody, for getting up with us. Outstanding. We'll see you back in Better Than Ever tomorrow. First Take starts now.